Glad you're here tonight. We didn't have opportunity together to worship God and now to consider His Word. I invite you to get a Bible and join very carefully with what the Word of God says. And it's our intent to teach in harmony with it. But if you find something that's not, please let me know so that we can correct that, so that we can endeavor always to be in harmony with truth, to do just what the Scripture said that Brad read for us, to hear the words of Jesus and do them. So that we may build our house upon the rock, our life upon the firm foundation of truth and faith that hears the word of Jesus and does it. We're going to talk tonight, study tonight, some from God's word about Jesus the preacher. Jesus, of course, his work, one of the central parts of it was preaching, and we'll get to that in a minute. Just as noted on the chart, Mark 1:14, one of many passages that shows this, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Jesus was a preacher. We think of him as the Son of God, of course, as he is, the Christ, who he is, the Son of Man, who he is, the Redeemer, the Savior, all of these aspects of his work. But do we think about Jesus as a preacher? He is a preacher as well. His message, and in fact, the message that he wants preached now is the way that God has chosen to bring sinners to salvation. Look at these two passages that are on the chart this evening to get started on this. Romans 10, and beginning in verse 13, we read that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It may be that you're here tonight and you have not called on the name of the Lord. Well, calling on the name of the Lord is taught in the Scriptures, of course, is making the appeal of faith to God to be saved, and it teaches us how to do that, to, upon that faith, repent and be baptized, to confess our faith Jesus is the Son of God, to repent and be baptized, calling on His name. Acts 22:16, Ananias told Saul, who was a believer and penitent, to now arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on His name, or calling on the name of the Lord. So if we're going to be saved at all, it's going to be by calling on the name of the Lord. And if you haven't done that tonight, you need to. You need to become a Christian. Be saved from your sins with the hope of eternal life. But now, a point to note is, how then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? It's impossible to call on the Lord to obtain salvation if we haven't believed on Him. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Verse 17 says, we cannot come to faith in Jesus unless we hear the Word of God. You may know something about Jesus, you may know He existed, but you're not going to believe in Him without the Gospel, without hearing the Word of God. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. It is God who has sent out preachers. And the Son of God Himself being a preacher of righteousness and a teacher of truth becomes a model for us. You see, if we're going to be saved by calling on His name, we're going to have to hear the Word so that we can believe in Christ, so that we can make that call, that act of faith, to repent and be baptized in order to be saved. God has chosen preaching as a means of bringing the sinner to the saving gospel so that sinners can call on His name and be saved. In Titus 1 and in verse 3, we read Paul saying, and we're picking up in the middle of the sentence, but he says that God has in due time manifested His Word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. He says that God has manifested eternal life. He's manifested His Word that contains eternal life through preaching. Through preaching. So it's important to know something about preaching. And who better to go to than Jesus, the model preacher? Preaching was central to His work. In Matthew 4 and 17, it says that He is really parallel to Mark's account in Mark 1 that we had on the chart previous. Matthew 4 and verse 17, when He came preaching, a message of repentance. When it says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Again in verse 23 of chapter 4 of Matthew, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Jesus is proclaiming a message that is called the gospel of the kingdom. Not the law of Moses, the gospel of the kingdom. And in that proclamation, he is calling people to repent because the kingdom of heaven is near. It was about to be established. And of course, that subsequently was established with the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom on the day of Pentecost as Jesus, being exalted to God's right hand, now reigning over His kingdom, is saving those who would call on His name, and that day 3,000 did. And so, we are saved. This is Joel who prophesied, Joel 2, 28-32. And in chapter 9 of Matthew and 35, again it says about that Jesus was preaching throughout the regions of Galilee. He was a preacher. Now, we need to see that. He was in synagogues preaching. He preached on the seaside. He preached on the mountains, in a boat, on the road, from village to village. He preached in the temple. He preached in homes. He preached by a well. He preached in a field. Wherever Jesus was, he was preaching. We cannot read his life without realizing that. It wasn't about standing in a pulpit. It was about proclaiming to the lost the message. Not just once a week, twice a week, but not that there's anything wrong with that. We have authority to do it. But you see, his life was consumed with preaching. Why? Because people can't believe unless they hear the Word. And unless they believe, they can't call on God's name. And if they don't call on God's name, they'll be lost. Are you listening? Are you listening to God? Look at Jesus. He drew large crowds when he preached. Luke 14 says, multitudes followed him. But odd thing, he turned to the multitudes and said, unless you're willing to give up everything, you can't be my disciple. You can't follow me. He didn't know how to win friends and influence people, did he? Hold a crowd. He said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Question for me, question for you. Can you be his disciple? Tonight, can you be his disciple? Can you bear his cross? Can you love him more than anything else, including yourself? That's the kind of preaching Jesus did. And because of it, in John 6 chapter, there are folks who said when they heard him preach, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can understand it? And then later in verse 66, from this time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They didn't follow him anymore. What he had to say, you know, really it wasn't that they didn't understand it. They didn't want to accept it. They didn't want to accept it. You know, they were complaining about his preaching. They were complaining about the very Word of God from the Son of God. And they turned and did not follow Him. Now, again we ask the question, is that how I react? Is that my response to the Word of Jesus, to the Word of God, to His preaching? Would I be a follower or would I turn away and say, this is too hard. Who's going to do that? I don't want to do that. And not listen to Him anymore. Fact is, God's Word is manifested through preaching. Jesus did that work. And He's a model for us. But you say, well, Joe, why do I need to know any of this? I don't preach. Well, again, let's plow this road once here from 1 Corinthians 1 and 21. 1 Corinthians 1 and 21 says that in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, knew not God. It was God's good pleasure through the foolishness of the preaching or the message preached to save those who believe. It affects your salvation. What kind of preaching you listen to. You see? It's God's wisdom to use the message preached which the world says is foolishness, to save you if you'll believe it, if you'll respond in faith and call on His name. This is why it ought to be important to you. Because if the message is right, it saves souls. If the message is wrong, it does not. Now God wants us to listen to gospel preaching. Watch this. Are you listening tonight? Listen not because I'm saying it. Listen because it's from God's Word. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. God says, preach the Word. Be urgent in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But heaping unto themselves teachers after their own lusts, they will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside into fables. Actually, it says having itching ears. They will turn away their ears from the truth. Turn aside the fables. God wants us to listen to gospel preaching. It's His way of saving us. And we cannot be satisfied with less. We cannot have the itching ear and look for someone to scratch it because it pleases us. Yeah. You have that itchy spot, you know. Find the door facing, you know. Rub up against it and it keeps moving, doesn't it? It doesn't stop. It starts crawling.
It's kind of like Paul's teaching too. Kind of like scratching ears. We like something for a while and we want something else that pleases us better. God says we need to listen to gospel preaching. We need to learn from Jesus the kind of preaching we need to listen to and the kind of preachers that we are willing to have fellowship with. But here's something else. You see, someday you may have to select a preacher, whether here or someplace else. What are you going to look for? You may not always be here, and I'm not going to always be here. You're going to have to one day look for a preacher. You may be in a congregation, a situation here or elsewhere. You're going to have to decide or help decide who's going to preach there. What are you going to look for? What are you going to expect? That's a valid question. That's an important question. It's a question that we need to answer from the Bible. Not from, oh, isn't he good looking? Oh, his voice is just so melodic. And on and on. What do you want in the preacher? Do you want the message that we're to listen to? See that? By the way, there are people here who preach. Oh, not all the time. But you go to White Rock and preach. You stand in this pulpit and preach. You preach in the classes, if you please. You proclaim a truth. You teach. We distinguish preaching and teaching. And there is an element of distinction with the words in the Scriptures. Nevertheless, there's a proclamation of truth. Whether you're teaching a class, whether you're standing in a pulpit, whether you're somewhere else, there are people here, young people and old, who preach. What are you trying to accomplish when you do that? What do you want to accomplish? Do you know what you want to accomplish? There's something here in the lesson for you to look at and to learn from for every one of us. Not just me as a preacher, every one of us. To equip ourselves to preach and to demand the kind of preaching that Jesus did so that we hear the Word of God and not the Word of men. That we hear the wisdom of God and not the so-called wisdom of man that is foolishness. Not enough for man to wear a tie and jacket, stand in a pulpit and call himself a preacher. Not enough for a church to send him money or give him money and support him and say, we have a preacher. We need to have preachers that follow the model preacher, Jesus. And we need the message like he preached. And if we don't, we got trouble. God's not pleased. He's not pleased. This is why you ought to care about how Jesus preached. It affects here, this church, and any other you may be a part of, it affects you. Because God has chosen through preaching to save you if you will believe the preaching of His Word.
But you got to hear the right word, don't you? So let's see how Jesus preached. He preached authoritatively. See that passage back there that Brad read for us in Matthew 7:28-29? Look how Jesus was preaching. When He ended the Sermon on the Mount, it says that the people were astonished at His teaching, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. There was a sharp and distinct contrast between the preaching that Jesus did and that of the scribes. Jesus spoke authoritatively, "I say to you." You see that throughout the sermon. He said it with the authority of heaven backing Him. You see, and the contrast with the scribes was that, you see, the scribes would traditionally teach that Rabbi, Jochebed said this, and Rabbi, so-and-so said that. And based on what this ancient rabbi wrote, in the Mishnah, that's where we extract these. That's why we do what we do. That's not the way Jesus taught. He didn't refer to men. He had the authority of heaven when He spoke. His life would bear that out with the miracles that He worked, demonstrating, validating, authenticating that He had been sent from the Father. John 12:48-50. And so He was able to say very clearly and very emphatically, "He that rejects Me and does not receive My saying has one that judges him. The word that I spoke, the same will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on My own authority, but the Father who sent Me gave Me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told Me, so I speak." Jesus spoke the Father's will. He was under commandment from the Father, and He fulfilled that commandment. He spoke with the authority of heaven. That's the kind of preaching we need today. That gave His preaching certainty and clarity. Now, those are bad words, it seems, in some quarters when it comes to preaching. You got to leave enough shades of gray so everybody can get what they want, and nobody gets the clear, unvarnished truth. 1 Corinthians 1:23 again. Know what it says. We preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and the Greeks, foolishness. He said, we preach a clear, distinct, unequivocal message. The Christ, the Anointed One, was crucified, killed for the sins of the world, resurrected from the dead. There was no doubt. He said there is a simplicity that is in Christ. It's uncompounded. It is genuine. Some versions in 2 Corinthians 11:3 says the simplicity and the purity is in Christ. Jesus taught the truth. He taught with the authority of heaven. And that preaching was bold. It was gave assurance because it had the backing of heaven. Now I want you to see this with the gospel preacher, Timothy. 1 Timothy 4. And let's remember this. You who preach, don't be afraid to preach the authority of heaven. Don't be afraid to be clear and distinct. And to realize it's not your authority, it is heaven's. It is God's when it's from His Word. 1 Timothy 4:11. Paul tells Timothy, the preacher, these things command and teach. Why should you listen to Timothy? He's commanding the Word of God. Back up in that context, that becomes clear. But again, chapter 5:7. These things command that they may be blameless. Here's why. Timothy, evangelist, preacher, here's why you need to command it, so they can be blameless. God's Word has the ability to help people be blameless before God. But not if we don't command it so that they understand it's God's requirement. It's not a think so. Command it. Again, chapter 6:2. Teach and exhort these things. Come alongside and urge and persuade with truth. Again, Titus 2:15.
speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Titus, as you preach there on Crete, I want you to exhort and I want you to rebuke with all authority. Not yours, God's. With the word that you're speaking and using to exhort and to rebuke. And don't let anyone despise you. In other words, don't back down when you need to speak it, when you need to exhort from it, when you need to rebuke. Because it's not your authority, it's God's. Brethren, that's the kind of preaching Jesus did. That's the kind of preaching His apostles did. That's the kind of preaching the first century preachers of the gospel did. That's the kind of preaching you need to do, I need to do, and we need to expect again from anyone who would claim to be a preacher of the gospel. It will save our souls. And if we don't, it'll contribute to us being lost. 1 Timothy 4:16. Jesus, when He preached urgently. There was an urgency to His preaching. See this in Luke 8. He said this often, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." If you have ears to hear, listen up. Listen carefully. Listen to me, He says. I'm telling you the Word of God. And then look at verse 18 of Luke 8. He said, be careful how you hear. How are you listening? It's one thing to listen, it's another thing to know how I'm listening. Am I listening with the heart to receive truth and to implement that truth? You see, there's urgency in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Preach the word, be urgent, be instant, in season and out of season. Preach to the need, preach to the moment. Preach what? When they like it, preach it when they don't. Preach it. There's an urgency the way Jesus preached. In Luke 8, 4th chapter, in the synagogue, Luke 4, 16 through 19, there's an urgency in the content of what He preached. Jesus didn't preach fluff. He didn't preach fluff. Look what He preached. He read from Isaiah. Really, He just let the Scriptures do the preaching. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now here's the content. Three times there He says, either preach or proclaim. I'm quoting Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. It's a prophecy of Messiah. Jesus put the book down and He began to say, today the Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You're hearing the good tidings. You're hearing the gospel. You're hearing in me a proclamation of liberty from sin, to proclaim God's acceptable time for salvation. See, there was content and there was urgency. When the gospel is preached, it's to save the lost. It's to provide deliverance from the death that we're in. Jesus preached urgently. Now, I want you to see this combined with the manner in which He preached. John 7, 28, 37, and again in 12, 44. All three of those says Jesus cried out when He preached. There was an intensity to His preaching. I appreciated Rick's prayer this morning, but I don't know, enthusiasm just, I don't know. Was that what the word he used? I think about myself, I said, Joe, are you enthusiastic? Jesus was enthusiastic. He was intense, and He was urgent. There was a need, and He cried out. He said, in each of these passages, He was getting their attention. I don't have to read every one of them, but look at John 7, 28. I appreciate that, Rick. I want to be enthusiastic. We need to be enthusiastic about the Word of God. John 8, 7 and 28 says, Jesus cried out as He taught in the temple, saying, you both know me and you know where I am from. See, he cries out to get their attention and He taught them. He was imparting knowledge to them. He
had a compelling message. It wasn't just holding them in rapt attention. He said, listen here. I got something to say. You need to listen to it. That's the kind of preaching Jesus did. Part of his urgency was, you see, he tried to impress upon his audience that you need to act immediately. You don't need to delay. You don't need to put it off. What I'm saying is important right now to you. You're standing with God. That's what gospel preachers need to always do. We need to not forget why we're preaching.
Save souls.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation. Everyone that believes is a Jew first and also the Greek, Paul wrote.
That was his reason. He says, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Verse 15 of chapter 1.
He was ready. He was anxious. He wanted them to hear it because that's how they could be saved. And that's how they could serve God faithfully.
Gospel preaching. We've got to remember why we're doing it. Not doing it to impress an audience. Not doing it to gain a reputation. We're doing it because people are lost. People need to hear God. They need to, so they can believe and be saved through their faithful obedience to God. Are you listening? Do you have an ear to hear it? How are you listening? That's the way Jesus preached. That's the way we need to preach. Matthew 5, 2. Perhaps it goes without saying, but it's important to note, Jesus' preaching was instructive. It was instructive. In other words, He taught when He preached. He wasn't entertaining. He wasn't trying to put on a show. Neither was He just trying to fill some time. He was teaching. Instructing. Matthew 5 and verse 2 says, He opened His mouth and taught them, saying. A simple statement, but wow, that's impressive. You know, a lot of people open their mouth and they don't teach a thing. When we preach, we need to open our mouth and teach like Jesus did. He was instructive. Chapter 13 and 4 and 34. Oh, I'm sorry, 54. Matthew 13, 54. When He had come to His own country, He taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? He had something to say. You see, He had the Word of God to teach. He had God's will to impart. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Mark 4 and 23. Sometimes He taught in parables. He used figures of speech to convey the meaning, the lesson that He wanted them to ponder and grasp. It says, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to Him, why do you speak to them in parables? He just taught a parable and He said, do you have an ear to hear it? Are you equipped to understand it? That gets to how we listen. You see, He was teaching them. They needed to have an ear to listen to gain the lessons. Sometimes He talked plainly. He talked plainly without figures. In John 16, you remember there, near His death, at the time of His arrest, His disciples said to Him, see, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. Jesus said, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, and now it's come that you're going to be scattered, each to his own. Sometimes He used figures, sometimes He talked plainly, but in either case, His goal, His aim, His motive and mission was to teach, instruct, because people didn't know God's Word. That's why He preached. They didn't need cliches, they didn't need jokes and pep talks. They needed God's Word. Acts 10 and 33. Cornelius gathered his household, friends, and family together, and he said to Peter, we are all here now in the presence of God to hear everything that's been commanded you of your God. We want to know, hear all the things commanded you by God.
see, that's what you got to expect from a preacher. That's the kind of preaching Jesus did, was to tell people the Word of God. If we don't hear that, we cannot believe no matter what we're doing. And we will not be saved no matter what we're doing if we do not have the Word of God. Jesus, when He preached, was instructive. You see, when people heard Jesus, they were hearing the Word of God. When you preach here or somewhere else, are people hearing the Word of God? You know, they need to hear the Word of God. I need to hear the Word of God. You need to hear the Word of God. That's the way Jesus preached. Jesus preached with compassion also, because he was aware of his audience and the need of the audience. And I think this is also an aspect of preaching that we need to not forget, is when we see in Jesus, we see one who, as he was going about all the cities, look at Matthew 9:35. He went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep not having shepherds. Having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Now, how would these laborers harvest these scattered and weary souls? They would do it by taking the Word of God to them, by preaching the Word to them so that they could hear and believe and call on the name of the Lord and be saved. It is out of compassion that Jesus is moved to say this. He says these people need help. You know, a preacher who does not understand the need of who he's preaching to needs to stop, needs to pause, needs to understand it's not about him, it's about those that are being preached the Word of God. Those who are hearing what's being said. He had compassion for sinners without compromise. Sometimes that's hard for us, seems like, to be compassionate without compromise. But it can be done. See, in Luke 15, 1 and 2, Jesus is teaching, but it says there that all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained to say, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke parables. Started talking to them about the mercy of God, the compassion of God that would go out and look for one lost sheep. God's compassion. God's looking for one lost soul through the preaching of truth to save one soul. Preachers need to remember that, and those listening need to remember that. You might be that one soul tonight. Are you listening? Am I preaching what needs to be heard? And the way it needs to be preached? Look how Jesus did this. With the woman who was taken in adultery. Not only did he expose the hypocrisy of those who brought her to him, he also sternly and directly and yet with gentleness taught her to go and sin no more. She had sinned and she needed to stop. The woman at the well is a case study in this, and time fails to let us go into depth with it tonight, but it certainly is a case study on how Jesus taught the lost. As the conversation went from why would he be speaking to a Samaritan woman to the water at the well to the salvation that he provides to her perceiving that he's a prophet and he's saying, "Well, go bring your husband," and he knew she'd had many husbands already, and the one she's with now wasn't her husband. Bringing her to eventually seeing that he's the Messiah as he speaks of her immorality, but also of her need for faith and of true worship. magnificent occasion of learning how to teach. He's driven by the love of the soul that's lost and that person's need for salvation. Look, he took time and made time to teach. You remember Nicodemus? One of the things that maybe we hurry over sometimes is he came to Jesus that night. Now, if you look at the life of Jesus, and we know his day was full, his day was filled.
But it was nighttime, and he still took the time to teach Nicodemus. You should never be too tired, too busy to teach somebody, especially someone who comes to us wanting to learn. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, despised by people, and yet Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to your house, for you also are a son of Abraham." The man showed his faith. Jesus took time to bless the children in Matthew 19. The compassion of the Savior was seen when he loved the rich ruler who for one thing he lacked. He had great possessions, and he turned away sorrowful when Jesus said, "Go sell all you have, come follow me, and you'll have riches in heaven." Jesus loved him. Jesus wanted him to be saved. Jesus had a compassion for him. He had forgiveness in his heart for those who were killing him. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Now, how do we preach today? We need to be aware of the plight of the lost and of the weak. You remember, you know, when Paul said, "My heart's desire for Israel is that they may be saved, for I bear them witness they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge," that these are the very ones who are chasing him from city to city to try to kill him. And yet he said, "My heart's desire is that they would be saved." Now think about it. Let that soak in. Somebody's trying to kill you. How do you think about them? Really, how are you thinking about them? They're chasing you. They're trying to find you and trying to kill you. You have compassion in your heart, a desire for them to be saved. Are you able to see a benefit? Are you able to see their zeal, misguided though it is? Paul was. He learned from the Master. He dealt with gentleness with the Thessalonians and taught them to uphold the weak, be patient with all, to warn the unruly. He teaches Timothy, the servant of God, the man of God, must be able to teach. But more than that, in addition to that, and really complementing and enabling that, it says he must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Preachers must not become jaded. You must not become jaded when you teach, when you preach. You see, our goal, our aim is to rescue someone from the clutches of the devil. And he said that's going to take some gentleness, that's going to take some patience, that's going to take some humility. And correct them, to bring them to a knowledge of the truth and repentance so that they can be saved. Jesus preached with compassion. He also was intense at times. He preached vehemently, that is, vigorously and fervently, as he denounced sin. He said, "Hypocrites," in Matthew 15, 7-9, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts far from me.'" See, our preaching can't be concerned with saying, "Oh, don't say that, you're going to hurt their feelings," when they need to hear it. You see that same context? That same passage. The disciples came to Jesus after he had said that very thing, and he said, "Teacher, do you not know the Pharisees were offended?" Or, "Do you know they were offended when they heard this saying?" The word "offended" there is stumbling. Is the same word we get "stumbling block." "You've been a stumbling block, Jesus. Don't you know that hurt their feelings? That offended them." Jesus said,
every plant that my Heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They're blind leading leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. Jesus knew their heart. He knew their conduct. And He made an accurate statement of what they were doing. They were laying aside the commandments of God for their traditions and binding those things upon people at the expense of the Word of God. He says that's hypocrisy. And then He tells us, He said, see, then they say how much they love God and love the Word of God. Today, preachers are told, don't do that. Don't preach that. If you preach that, you're going to upset some people. Don't do that. It's going to hurt some feelings. I have to leave that topic alone. Don't preach on that subject. See, the Bible says, Paul said, I preach the whole counsel of God. In some places, that's not the kind of preaching they want. Just leave that alone. Don't deal with that. Because, you know, that just causes trouble. Tried to preach on that once, you know, 15 years ago, and it just caused trouble. We just decided, just let everybody deal with that on their own. We're not going to preach it now. Because that just caused trouble. That may be a little simplistic statement, but I tell you, it gets down to the heart of it. We don't want to deal with the problem that truth brings when people object to it or need to repent because they're in sin against it. And it's easier to tell the preacher don't preach on it, and the hireling will do that. He won't preach on it. To the expense of his soul and others. Jesus, though, when he preached heaven's woes when he needed to. He said, woe and destruction. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, pretenders, blind guides, full of extortion and excess, brood of vipers, unclean. And yet, in the midst of saying all that, he comes upon the city of Jerusalem and he cries. He weeps. He took no pleasure in the message of denunciation, but he was emphatic. And we need to be too when we preach, when it's needed. We need to be emphatic to show sinners the result of the sin, to even then try to urge them to repent. You see, and that gets to the next point. See, Jesus demanded something in his preaching. He said in Matthew 7, verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter in by thereon, or go thereon. Narrow is the gate and straight in the way that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, verse 21, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus demanded repentance. He came preaching repentance. Change your heart. That's what he was saying when he said, repent, change your heart. And when he sent the apostles into the world, that repentance and remission of sins would go forth from Jerusalem. See, change your heart. That's the message. When he preached, he demanded it. He didn't say, if you want to. You know, if you think it's a good idea, if you feel like it. He said, do it. There's sin. You're going to die. You're going to perish unless you repent. He demanded the people. He got their attention. He demanded self-denial. And now come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's a prerequisite to it, he said. You cannot be my disciple. We already read that in Luke 14th chapter. Preaching that asks for nothing will get nothing, someone has said. If we don't ask for anything, we're not going to get anything in return. Jesus, when he preached, not merely asked, he demanded. If you're going to please God, you're going to have to repent. You're going to be saved. You have to repent. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to sacrifice yourself. He demanded it. He demanded one way. The narrow way that leads to life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You see, over and over, you can teach it entirely. Work up a sermon, one of you fellows, so you can preach it. What Jesus demanded when he preached. What he demanded of us. That's how he preached. With the authority of heaven to save people. And finally, he preached plainly. The common people heard him gladly. Mark 12:37 says, the religious leaders and rulers, they schemed to kill him. For a time, the common people gladly heard him. Here's the point. He reached the hearts of people. He was at home with the fishermen and the farmer. He taught the carpenters and the merchants, the religious leaders, the tax collectors, the children, the politicians and the paupers. Jesus proclaimed truth in a plain, clear way so people could understand what he said. Ephesians 5:17 says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. When people heard Jesus preach, they could understand. They had a heart to receive truth. They could understand John 7:16 and 17, that he was preaching the will of God. When you preach, do not cheapen the gospel with coarseness, nor try to impress with eloquence. Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. Say, I determined not to know anything among you, say Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul was an educated man. He had been trained. He was skilled in the law. He knew his business. But he said, I just determined to not know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So I'm trying to impress people. When you preach, just preach the truth. Preach it plainly. Don't coarsen it, cheapen it with the things of the world, the wisdom of man. Just plainly preach the gospel. And those with the heart to hear will receive it, hold it fast, and bear fruit unto God. We need to preach the way Jesus preached. See, Paul told Timothy, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continuing, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Young man, when you preach, your soul is at stake. Old man, when you preach, your soul is at stake. When you listen to the preaching, your soul is at stake. Take heed, preacher, to yourself and to what you're teaching. Your soul is at stake. To either save or to be lost, and to contribute to the loss of others. That's the responsibility we have. What better model to follow than Jesus? That's the one that we need to mold ourselves after, in attitude and in message, so that we can save some according to God's plan of preaching the gospel of the cross. If you're not a Christian, you need to obey His gospel tonight. You need to, having heard His gospel, He's Christ, the Son of the living God, you need to believe it and call on His name, repenting of your sins and being baptized in Jesus for the remission of those sins. If you're a Christian and you know you haven't been faithful to Him, open your heart to Him tonight. Repent. Do not perish. Use this opportunity to get right with your God and to live this day forward in harmony with His will, first and always. While together we stand and sing as you come.